From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of June 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the United States Senate voted 90-8 yesterday on a motion to proceed with the farm bill. China has cut the price of diesel and gasoline for the second time in a month, and Kraft Foods is transferring its stock listing to the NASDAQ from the New York Stock Exchange. Dave Dickey will have details on the reasons why shortly. And then I'll tell you how to make an official comment on what time USDA should release its reports in the future. The comment period open today. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures for the soft red winter wheat were down 12 and 3 quarters on their last trade at 2 o'clock Central Time at 6:29. September at 6:47 and a quarter, down 10 and 3 quarters of cent. The hard red in Kansas City, a settlement price there for the July, $6.56, down 12 and a half cents. July corn at 2 o'clock, 3 and 3 quarters of a cent higher at $5.97 and 3 quarters. September from the electronic at 5:48 and 3 quarters, up 5 and 3 quarters, and December futures 5:42 and a quarter, up 5 and 3 quarters. The March contract at $5.55, up 6 and 3 quarters, and May corn $5.62 and 3 quarters, up 6 and 3 quarters. July futures 5.69 and a half, up 9, and December of next year at $5.43 and a quarter, 2 cents higher. July soybeans at 14.25, down 3. The August at 13.98 and a quarter, down 8. September at 13.60 and 3 quarters, 9 and a half lower. November beans at 13.29, down 12 and a quarter. January 13.29 and a half, down 12 and 3 quarters, and the November of 2013 at $12 and a penny, down 12 and 3 quarters for the day. July bean meal futures at 4.29.10, up 3.60. Bean oil at 49.42, finished 97 cents lower. June live cattle at 119.87 and a half, up 52 and a half for the day. The August feeders at 159.37 and a half, 27 and a half higher, and June lean hogs at $93.02 and a half, down a nickel on the afternoon. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day trading at $84.42, down 40 cents. Ethanol at $2.07, 3 tenths lower. Natural gas at $2.29 and 6 tenths. That's 2 and 2 tenths higher. The heating oil at $2.67 and 8 tenths. Down a penny, or rather up a penny for the afternoon. And gold futures at $1,590.10 on their last trade. And settlement price up $3.50. The dollar at 82.5, that's up 0.26. And the CRB index at 272.88, down 1.1 on the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says... Oh, I don't have the weather forecast with me for the afternoon, so I can't tell you what it says, but it's beautiful outside at the moment. We have 84 degrees, and it is fantastic. Really low humidity levels, just 38%, so I think it probably feels a little less warm than it actually is, maybe 82, 83 degrees outside. Not much rain in the forecast at this point, but we'll take a look a little further at that when we get to the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center about the weather forecast for the United States and the planet, and we'll do that at about 26, or rather 32 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, doing great. As a matter of fact, you don't need a weather report, Todd. Just say it's hot and dry, and we will keep saying that until something changes.
Hey, did you see that latest drought monitor that just came out?
I did. And some of the individual states were very shocking to me, not just Indiana, because I feel that every day, and the water bill is going to be quite high for the month of June in this house, but even Nebraska was very shocking to me because they've got some very serious drought problems in the southern areas closer to Kansas. And I was, quite frankly, I was very surprised that more relief was not seen in Iowa given the rain pattern that we saw in the month of May. So
yeah.
I think those are some big, big issues that are probably going to have to start playing out as we get the USDA numbers next week.
Yeah, as you take a look at that map, there's a little spot there in the northern part of Indiana, of course, central Illinois, and then a couple of counties up in the northwestern corner of Iowa that all are not just dry or abnormally dry. They show up as moderate drought.
Yeah, and I think one of the big differences this year versus other years is I don't think it'll take much to get a lot more of those areas that are not lightly yellow shaded to get lightly yellow shaded in the next week or two. I think that's what everybody's starting to convey, both in the trade and also on the phones when I talk to people, even people that got 6/10 to 9/10 of rain last week are very, very disappointed with the way their crop looks. That rain is essentially gone at this point.
And then the southeastern part of the United States and the southwestern part of the U.S. Just in drought on both sides.
You know, that's a key point because if you notice that September corn still remains about 40 cents discount to the July, and when you look at the southeast and you look at the Delta states, you've really got to wonder if that corn is really going to be there,
Arkansas.
They need it to be. And I think there's still that disparity in the spreads that probably are going to have to be worked out here for you.
The map showing Arkansas in a bad way at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, and I can say that about the corn. And I would also say that about the oil seeds as well. When it comes to drought, you can't pick winners and losers. It just goes back to which commodity probably has more premium in it versus more discount. And the trade has been very giddy about a great big corn crop, great big acres, great big yield, mediocre demand. And yet and this week was a good example of it with the beans, what we did in 4 or 5 days of trading, we were able to go up and take out about 3 weeks of price erosion in 4 or 5 days. And that, I think, when you see that type of price action, that's weather, that's supply, and the trade is back to, if I'm going to buy on weather, I'm going to buy on supply, I being the trade, I'm going to go ahead and buy the beans, and I'll come around to the corn later on.
Will the corn, and I don't know, the weather pattern really doesn't look like, I guess maybe there is some rainfall out there, but the weather pattern doesn't look all that great at this point. Do you think the corn, no matter what happens maybe next week with the WASDE report and Illustrator's a big surprise, will rally pretty good next week?
I do. I think here's the thing that I keep going back before every big report, especially when the corn has been sold off. You know, up until this week, it's been a pretty ugly market. 5/10, 5/11 was not that long ago when it comes to D's corn,
mm-hmm.
and here we are back to 5/42. But I think the key question after the report is if we stay dry, even regardless of what's going on with the Euro crisis, do end users come in after the report and get some needs locked up? And I think they will. If we stay dry, I think they'll be less sensitive to what's going on in the European Union and the banking crisis over there because they've been playing pretty good hand-to-mouth buying here at this point, betting on the come, betting on the rain. And I think at this point, based upon how the crop conditions declined, especially in the corn this week, and to the lesser degree, the beans weren't as good either, I think the end users are probably going to have to come off the sidelines and step into this, especially the export market.
Okay, let's talk about the European Union just a bit because we have a $5.97¾ lead option for the July corn price.
Mm-hmm.
How much? How do I put this? How much pressure has come from the European Union? So if we had the European Union and the Asian economy in a better way,
yeah,
what would that price be today?
I think it'd be back up to 645 to 650. As Dave and I talked about this morning, I really think this last 2 to 3 weeks of pressure, 85% of it has been outside market driven. I don't think it's been, and I know we talked about this on Commodity Week a little bit last week about Brazil and their corn production coming up, but I haven't seen a lot of business come out of Brazil here lately. And to me, it seems like about 85% of the break has been related to the outside markets, even the wheat break. I mean, you look at the price of wheat compared to what it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. I guess you could say that the yields in Kansas and the Southern Plains are better than expected, but better than expected versus better than average are two different things. And I would say you've got some big declines in some other regions that more than compensate for these better than expected yields. Here again, I think the wheat has been wide open to the dollar and wide open to the European crisis through the Paris wheat and through the German wheat as well.
All right. So we've got a dollar. If that's right, then you've got a dollar spread between July and December.
Correct.
Or thereabouts. But you're thinking about 40 or 45 cents really coming as suppression. And is that speculation, relatively speaking, or real lack of demand? Because of the problems they're having in Europe?
It's
combination
both.
Of both?
Yeah. It's both. You know, I think the last 2 weeks, weekly export sales, you cannot get around the idea that we are not having the best demand right now because the last 2 weeks of weekly export sales have not been good. I'll give last week a pass because it was a holiday week, but this week really shook me up. And had it not been for the Chinese purchases and the Egyptian purchases of soybeans this morning, and also this national strike that's been underpinning, I think, Argentine meal prices so well, and therefore our meal prices. Had it not been for those two things, I think beans actually would have performed weaker today at the end of the week, and there would have been more profit-taking because of the rally we saw earlier in the week. And I would go one step further and say, look at the commodity trading funds and where they've been so long and where they've been so short. Here again, I think there's this disparity between the two row crops. But I found it interesting that one of the big analysts in India that's very well known for palm oil and vegetable oil analysis said on the whole, and this is a quote, on the whole, demand growth in China has been disappointing. The Chinese consumer of veggie oils has tightened his belt, and we've not seen the strong year-on-year rise in consumption as in the past. So at the end of the day, we can talk weather, we can talk rally next week, we can talk end users coming in, but I would also say in the back of my mind, I have to say to myself, why did China lower its interest rate this week? And I think it's because they see the potential very, very high for a hard landing. And if that interest rate decline doesn't help their economy, we could see even weaker demand down the road. Real demand is what your question is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for
taking
the time.
Okay, Todd, have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Senate voted 92-8 yesterday on a motion to proceed on the Farm Bill. And the White House issued a strong statement of support in favor of the bill, but said it wants further cuts to crop insurance and commodity programs. Two Republican senators did not vote, Dean Vitter of Louisiana and Mark Kirk of Illinois. China today cut state-set gasoline and diesel prices for the second time in a month, amid mounting government efforts to reverse a sharp slowdown in the world's second-largest economy. The reduction came after an interest rate cut yesterday, the country's first in nearly 4 years. The fuel price cut will reduce the retail cost of the most commonly used grade of gasoline by 7 cents per liter, effective on Saturday. Kraft Foods Incorporated says it's transferring its stock listing to the NASDAQ from the New York Stock Exchange to cut costs. The packaged foods maker also says the move will give its brands greater visibility. Self Econ today says that Russia is likely to harvest 87 million metric tons of grain, including 53 million tons of wheat this year. And the country's grain exports in the 2012-13 marketing year are likely to total 18 million tons, of which 14 million tons is wheat. The head of the Russian Grain Union said earlier this month that Russia's grain export potential in the 12-13 marketing year would be 30 million tons. McDonald's global same-store sales rose at a slower-than-expected 3.3% in May as austerity measures in Europe pressured the world's largest fast food chain's results. Same-store sales in the U.S. rose 4.4%. The company attributed its growth to the launch of its seasonal blueberry banana nut oatmeal. In Europe, same-store sales grew 2.9%. The Asia-Pacific, Middle East, and Africa region posted a 1.7% decrease. The U.S. Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade deficit narrowed in April. The U.S. deficit in international trade of goods and services decreased 4.9% to $50.06 billion from an upwardly revised $52.62 billion the month before. Meanwhile, the trade deficit with China continued to expand, rising 13.3% to $24.55 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on the phone line for this Friday afternoon from his farm in Auburn, Illinois, well, I think that's where he is at this point, is Gary Niemeyer. He is the president of the Corn Board for the National Corn Growers Association. Is that where you happen to be this afternoon, Gary, or someplace else?
You chose wisely. I'm actually home for a change. I've been on the road quite a bit here the last few months.
Yeah, well, let's start with one thing. You're in the midst of probably one of the driest areas in the state of Illinois. How's the crop look?
Well, it depends. Early in the morning, the crop looks great. In the afternoon, when it rolls up, it doesn't look so hot. but that's a protective measure of rolling up. And the other problems we're starting to see, and I'm just looking out the window, and I'm seeing these Japanese beetles starting to fly around, which we would hope would not show up this year, but unfortunately they're here.
Well, we'll have to talk to entomologist Mike Gray and see what he thinks you ought to do, if anything, about those. Hey, the Corn Farmers Coalition is back in Washington, D.C. for the summer. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Really the goal of the Corn Farmer Coalition is to saturate the Washington, D.C. market via advertising in metro stations, Capitol Hill publications, the Washington Post, and morning drive radio, and the major digital presence on all key websites frequented by our targeted audience, which is the Washington, D.C. crowd. And the target audience consists of congressmen and senators, their staff, agency officials, from USD to EPA, lobbyists, think tank, and environmental groups. And we're trying to get our message out to them.
And the message is what?
Well, there's a new technological revolution happening in agriculture that is allowing family farmers to grow more and more on each acre of land with less energy and fewer resources. And that means there is a constantly expanding supply of corn available for all purposes, food, animal feed, ethanol, and more. And the unrivaled productivity continues to grow from generations of an inherited knowledge and expertise.
Hey, so when you've done this in the past, and it's happened for several years, this is really effective because really what you're trying to do is to teach or talk about the farm and corn production in particular to people who are making policy about the farm and agriculture in the United States.
Well, absolutely. And Todd, really, it's more or less trying to get some information. It's factual information. It's about sustainability. I'll just give you a couple of facts here. Thanks to new innovative fertilization methods, corn farmers grow 87% more corn per ounce of fertilizer applied. Today's farmers cut soil erosion by 44% by embracing new conservation techniques. Tilling the soil less also means sequestering carbon, keeping it in the ground instead of letting it escape in the atmosphere. And probably most of all, each acre of corn we grow removes 8 tons of harmful greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. And that's more than is produced by one car each year.
Hey, Gary, one final question for you, and I don't know whether these are still up or not. It used to be that up at the Corn Crib in Bloomington, Illinois, that's where the baseball team plays, the new stadium there, there were some of the great big banners, and I think maybe even some of the ball hangings were there. And so people might get an idea what Washington, D.C. looks like at this point by going to the Corn Crib. Are those still up, do you know?
I'm not really sure. I'm almost positive Mark Lambert will have them put up there if they aren't after we talk.
Well, maybe folks have seen them if they've been to the Corn Crib. So it's really kind of a great sight. And thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck with the corn crop this year and keep us apprised of what's happening with the corn growers.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Gary Niemeyer is the president of the board for the Corn Board for the National Corn Growers Association. Joined us here on the closing market report for this Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Hey, this just released from Washington, D.C. today. The United States Department of Agriculture is now accepting public comment through the 9th day of July as part of its review of the release times and procedures for several major statistical reports. Due to the recent changes in market hours by the major commodity exchanges, the National Agricultural Statistics Service and the World Agricultural Outlook Board, those are both USDA entities that are responsible for reports, are reviewing release times and procedures of the following statistical reports: the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, acreage, cattle, cattle on feed, crop production, grain stocks, prospective plantings, quarterly hogs and pigs, and the small grain summary. The current USDA release times, of course, are 7:30 and 2 o'clock Central Time. Those will remain in effect until further notice. You can submit your official comments via the Federal Register. Just search for the Federal Register online, and you're looking for the public comment period on statistical reports from the United States Department of Agriculture. Let's check the cash grain market for this Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard is on the phone line, as usual, from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. I know why he's not on the phone line. It's because I got the wrong lineup. Hey, Bruce, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. Tell me about the marketplace, please.
It's been a quiet week in the markets, just not a whole lot of activity, a lot of maybe calling in or stopping by to look at the screen as they're passing through or doing some spraying out here, but not much selling going on.
And the basis has been really good?
Basis continues to be good. Corn numbers have steady, but they kind of led the way early when we're seeing some markets that maybe were lagging a little bit pop up. Soybeans have improved. Old crop bean basis up a couple cents for the week. New crop jumped 8 cents, so a nice pop there.
Yeah, a nice pop there, thinking the soybeans could be in much more trouble than the corn at this point, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the corn, we've got this mixed reaction out here. The corn crop has good stands and looks good, but we're kind of like the guy who is living life real well, paycheck to paycheck with the rain that comes through, but there's absolutely nothing in the bank account. Hmm. Beans, a lot of beans went into dry dirt, and the stands are more spotty.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 6:30 on nearby corn, 5:29 on the new crop. Beans, 14:19 nearby, and 13:05 on the new.
We'll talk to you in another week.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. It's in Ludlow, Illinois. In just a couple minutes, we will take a look at the weather forecast. Steve Hilberg will be here from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. This is the closing market report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media at the U of I.
It's National Donut Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, Franklin Hiram King was born, an American agricultural scientist. He was the inventor of the cylindrical tower silo. He also invented a gravity system of ventilation for dairy barns that was widely used until electric-powered blowers became commonly available. King was a giant in agriculture. He also studied soil physics, including water holding capacities, moisture requirements of plants, aeration, movement of water in soils, and soil fertility. He also conducted the first year-long study of power generated by farm windmills. In 1859, Walter Hunt died. Hunt invented the first safety pin in 1849. It was made out of a piece of brass wire about 8 inches long, coiled at the center and shielded at one end. In 1908, the UN National Conservation Commission was formed by President Theodore Roosevelt. The commission prepared the first inventory of the natural resources of the U.S., including water, forests, lands, and minerals. And in 1992, the UN Environmental Agency was formed and adopted a 300-page plan for achieving sustainable development in the 21st century. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Time to check the weather forecast. Steve Hilberg is with us from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. It's good to talk to you again, Steve. How are you today?
Yeah, it's good to be back, Todd. I'm doing well.
Okay, so we've talked quite a little bit about the drought monitor and what was released today and what it looked like for the upper Midwest. Can you give us your assessment, please?
Well, the upper Midwest, actually, if you talk about northwestern Iowa through Minnesota and Wisconsin is not too bad, as well as Michigan, but you get south of there and the conditions are rather dry. We've had less than 50% of our normal rainfall here in the last 30 days across the heart of the Corn Belt, and we're not seeing any prospects for excessive rain, for sure, in the foreseeable future. So basically we have what's called designated abnormally dry conditions throughout Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, and parts of Indiana, and then we got actually a severe drought now has been designated in far southern Illinois, the Missouri Boot Hill, and adjacent portions of Indiana and Kentucky. So the general trend has been for this condition, for the drying conditions to spread, and it has not been alleviated much. Even though we've had spotty rain here and there, it hasn't been really enough to put a dent in things.
Do you see any relief in the offing for either the Arkansas Delta region, that Boot Hill, or for parts of the Midwest that are really dry?
Actually, this front coming through early in the week could bring some significant relief to some areas. But, you know, with thunderstorms these days, with this time of year, some areas can get pretty good precipitation while others get very little or none. But it looks like there could be a good general line of storms ahead of this cold front, which could bring precipitation. And indications are there could be some heavier stuff down in the southern parts of Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana, which are very dry. But it looks like we could get half-inch to three-quarters to maybe over an inch in some places as this system comes through. But once that moves through early Tuesday morning, it looks like the rest of the week will likely be dry and probably no prospects for rain, throughout the rest of that week.
When you get out to the west, they say it's hot, but it's dry heat, so that makes a difference. And I'm going somewhere with that.
Okay.
I think the humidity is just 38% today, so it's really low, and we don't have a lot of rainfall to humidity in the soils,
right,
or in the air to drive thunderstorms. Does that create much of a problem over the next month or so?
Well, we could get a feedback type of situation developing where the dry soils, the plants can't transpire that moisture that's not in the soil into the air, and therefore it tends to starve and dry the air ahead of these systems. So, yes, there could be a feedback mechanism that the drier it gets, the drier it will get. Hopefully, though, if we can get a good front through here every week or so at the least, I think we won't be in too bad a shape, especially if we can get some good amounts of rain from it. So far, the rain we've got has been sort of timely, but it's been rather spotty. So keep our fingers crossed for that. But in general, it looks like it's pretty dry.
Is it too early to cry? Is it too early to cry wolf yet?
No, I don't think so. We're getting enough. You know, the pattern's looking active, so that we can get the cold fronts through here. We're not going to get in a stagnant pattern, I don't think. But it's something we're definitely keeping an eye on.
Okay, thank you so much. That's Steve Hilberg. He's with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. And that wraps up this Friday edition. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week there by about 6 o'clock Central Time this evening. Our guest, Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading. I'm Todd Gleason.